it's about that time. So, and everybody's enjoying each other's company, so I can stop talking though. God. So, welcome everybody. Appreciate everybody being here tonight, and hopefully you're as talkative during class as you are in pre-class. So, because obviously there's good material here, but you know, it's probably you've never studied. I would imagine, just like I said, Sunday with, you know, Barnabas, you may not have studied about Lois, and I'll say Eunice, even though when you look that up, that's not how her name's pronounced, so, but I won't throw you off there. What? It's Eunica. So, but anyway, so, you know, I don't know that you may have heard sermons. I mean, there's some out there and things of these two ladies. But of course, we know about them. We are given some scripture, which you had in your lesson materials. But of course, we can learn a lot about them through their son. But there are some things said. I mean, I'm not going to dive too deeply tonight into Timothy, but basically what we do know about them, that from what Luke says in his account in Acts when we first introduced to him, and Paul says also about them when he's talking to Timothy in the right letter he has. So welcome everybody. Welcome those that are joining us online. Let's go ahead and start with a word of prayer. Dear God, our Father in heaven, we thank you, dear Lord, for blessing us, dear Lord. So many ways we are blessed in this life. We thank you for this opportunity we can assemble together in comfort and safety. Thank you for your word that you have inspired men to record and that you preserved for us that we might understand your plan for us and that your son came and died on the cross for mankind that we might have the hope of eternal life in heaven with you and him one day forever and ever with all the saints, dear Lord. We thank you for this time, and as we go through this study, help us look at these two women and what's said about them and maybe find application on our lives and look a little deeply on how we can affect others. Dear Lord, we thank you for the blessings you've given us this life. Again, the blessings to be here tonight. We know some are unable to do so due to different reasons, health reasons or others, and we ask that you be with them. Help them return health to them, dear Lord, and may they be back joining with us in studies once again and in worship of you. We thank you for this time once again. Be with all the teachers. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay. So let's go ahead and turn over to Acts chapter 16. So before we get into this, I mean, we'll read some verses, but I'm going to say from your study, what do we know about these two women? I mean, not necessarily about the details about what's said about them, but what do you know just in general about them, some of the facts about who they are? Well, who are they, first off?
Timothy's mother and grandmother.
Yeah, which is which? Lois is his grandmother, and Eunice is the mother. And that's the only place grandmother's used, by the way, and that word is used in the scriptures. The grandmother's used there in that word in 2 Timothy chapter 1. What else do you know? So it's Timothy's mother and grandmother. They're believers, right? And, I mean, we see that, you know, it says of his mother in Acts chapter 16, but the implication definitely from what's said in 2 Timothy, and we'll look at those verses later, that they both are, right? They're both believers. What else?
Jewish.
Okay. So, yeah, you're hitting on all these things that I just had up here. So, they're Jewish, they're Jews. Now, you know, technically, I mean, she is, his mother is, Eunice is a Jew, it says specifically, but I infer that, her mother would have been too, Lois also. We're not really told that, but I think there's implication that from what's said about her, not being, there's a believer later on, but also talking about the scriptures and we'll look at that verse, you know, the sacred writings and things. So, that, and again, that just says from his youth, but, you know, I think they're both that. You know, they're both can be, I think it's safe to say they're both Jews, but we know definitely his mother was, and so because unless she was proselytized or something, but that's the only reason she was a proselyte, wouldn't be a Jew. It said that, nobody said this, but it said, you know, a lot of people think that Timothy or she, you know, they lived in Lystra. But I can't, unless you guys have studied a lot more and point it wrong, but I see that because you can't tell if it's Derbe or Lystra. Because the way it's said there in chapter 16 that, you know, Paul came to Derbe and to Lystra, and a disciple was there named Timothy, the son of the Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was Greek. That's Acts 16, verse 1. You know, maybe both lived there, I don't know. But definitely, you know, Lystra or Derbe, we don't know. But, you know, a lot of people lean toward Lystra. Doesn't matter. They're only 60 miles apart, by the way. That's kind of, it's hard to see that probably. But that's just kind of showing you a route of Barnabas and Paul's first missionary journey. So they, you know, and you can see how close there's Lystra. Iconium's mentioned in that, these verses too. We actually see, you know, maybe they were converted. I know Mark, when he put together the verses, he gave you Acts chapter 14. Why did he give you Acts chapter 14? I'm pretty sure that's what he, why do you think he gave you those verses? Did you read the verses? So that's what, when Paul and Barnabas came through the first time. And so this, in Acts chapter 16, is Paul's, you know, missionary journey through going through these areas, and he returned back through. So most likely, maybe they heard Paul the first time and he converted them or not, you know. Now, it maybe he, Timothy, he knew, maybe he didn't, you know. But anyway, Timothy's here mentioned in one later on that he's also, you know, a faithful believer also. So we said they were both believers. Again, we definitely get that from 2 Timothy chapter 1 and from what's said about them both there. What's what do you know about Eunice that's told us in Acts chapter 16 verse 1? Somebody didn't mention maybe.
Married to a Greek
man. Is there anything unusual about that? What's that?
He wasn't Jewish.
So technically it would have been against the commandments, right? I mean, to be married to a Gentile. So don't know all the backstory there. We're not given all that, but that's unusual. But that may explain something about also in chapter 16 that Paul did to Timothy, or had Timothy do when he met him. What did he have him do there? What's that? I think somebody said it. Had him circumcised. So, I don't know, what is it? It's kind of interesting, right? I mean, he didn't need, I mean, as a believer he didn't need to be, but he was the son of a Jewish woman, but his dad was a Gentile. So maybe there's, who knows, but maybe that was a difficult relationship, maybe even that she was not really accepted probably by other Jews in the area and everything, because she was married to a Gentile man, her son wasn't circumcised. And by the time we see this, he's, you know, in 16, you get the idea he's older. He's certainly beyond the age of circumcision, which I think was 8 years old, right? So he was beyond that age for sure, because he wants to take him with him. He wouldn't have taken a little kid with him. So he should have been circumcised if he followed the Jewish faith, but he wasn't. So that's just kind of interesting. So again, it gives a little backstory maybe we hadn't thought about, you know, Eunice and her relationship there with the other Jews in the practicing Jews and everything in the area. But nonetheless, we know for our study she's a believer. But again, that's, you know, we'll talk a little bit about that more. And we also said that Lois was Timothy's grandmother, and of course Eunice was Timothy's mother. So anything else though you learned about them?
They taught
Timothy. And so we know we're going to get into a lot of things, but that's they taught Timothy, you know. Or again, the presumption is they did, but they definitely, I think that's a safe inference, right? We're not told, but, you know, should have taught him from his childhood, right? So we'll look at those verses. What's that?
Yeah,
I said from childhood. Yeah. So that's kind of, let's start looking at some of these verses. We're not given a lot of verses, but, you know, let's look at that verse. That's over in 2 Timothy 3. So if you turn over there, and I selected a helper tonight to read, but if somebody wants to read verses 14 through 17 of 2 Timothy chapter 3.
You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work.
Thank you, Casey. So, again, we're kind of making the inference here that it was his mother, at least, that taught him from childhood, because what did she teach him, or what was he taught? What does it say? So what has he known since his childhood?
The Holy Scriptures.
Holy Scriptures, sacred writings, some verses. So what would those be? Yeah, you know, the what we would call the Old Testament, you know. And so, you know, those have been the sacred writings or the Holy Scriptures they had at the time or whatever. They wouldn't have the New Testament, right? You know, but that's what they would have been taught, you know, and he's learned them from his childhood. So obviously it wouldn't have been his dad, who was a Greek, a Gentile, teaching that. So again, we think it's his mother. But you get the sense, I think, you know, we can infer that, you know, she being a Jew and most likely her, you know, his grandmother being a Jew, how much value they put in the Scriptures that they taught their son these things, you know, and of course we'll talk more about them in a minute, specifically their faith, but it's like, it just says, you know, you've known since childhood. So do you think can you think of a verse that they would remind you of teaching, the Jews were instructed to teach, you know, their children? Probably more than one of them, but it just kind of shows me how much that they must have taken these instructions to heart. How about that one? Deuteronomy chapter 6. This is repeated again in chapter 11 of Deuteronomy, but I think we're all familiar with this, right? And they would have read these. Lois and Eunice would have read these and none of these things as practicing Jews. They probably read these a lot during their life. But it appears here that they really took them to heart, what these instructions were about to read. So in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9, again, verses we should probably have all been familiar with, it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates." So, probably, who do you think would, you know, when God was given this instruction, maybe, and this is, you know, who would you think the one that would be in the household that would be most charged with doing these things? Probably the father, right? Maybe the dad should be the ones that's really making sure this happens, and it should be the same today. But in this case, for Timothy, his dad, we're going to learn that from his dad. So, but his mother, being faithful to the Scriptures before she became a believer. She was a Jew. She had those Scriptures that still were given by God, and she was a practicing Jew. She would have taken this to heart, it appears. And it's interesting, Paul just reminds him, knowing these things, he must have learned this with Timothy along the way and knew his mother and grandmother started to learn them, but had seen in him too the Scriptures and the knowledge he had of the Scriptures they had at the time. And he's just reminded of these things, but I think we see there that they took to heart these things. So, you know, it just shows that, you know, God's words are important and, you know, he does desire us to follow those things. And I think even though this is an Old Testament scripture, we can find scripture in the New Testament that about father, you know, teaching our children and things that still applies to this, right? It's still our responsibility as parents, grandparents, to pass along that knowledge and help train the children rightly. And I think those things are truths no matter old law or new law, you know, certain things that God would still expect parents in the household to do. Any thoughts about that?
It'd be good today if we were teaching our children, grandchildren, what his structure
Yeah. Taking the time, making sure they understand. I think it was a repetitive situation, so it wasn't like gloss over type.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, that's how really I think to mind is how God expects Scripture to be taught to children. It's not what we're doing tonight, even though this is great, right, having classes. That just supplements. But even when we see what Eunice and Lois were doing, that's the primary means of teaching our children, our grandchildren, you know, and that's, I think, what God would expect as the primary means. Obviously, He gave that instruction to them. You know, as He didn't say, hey, go to the priest and let them teach him, or the rest of the Levites, that's their job. He's talking about each parent there, that you teach it to your children. Be in your heart first, and then you teach it to your children, and it has to be there every day in front of y'all. So, Phil, did you have something?
I was just thinking, I mean, there was a lot of Jews that knew the old law that didn't know Christ. But Timothy was taught the way that leads through faith, salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. So he was taught the Scriptures in such a way where there was discernment about the Messiah and then linked Christ to that teaching, which was somewhat unique.
Yeah.
For Jews. So Eunice and Lois were discerning Bible students.
I agree. That's because that's specifically what he says, right? He's, like you quoted there, says sacred writings which are able to give you wisdom which that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. You know, so they had and there are some, like we know, we can look at others, you know, maybe Joseph of Arimathea and some others, right, that are looking for, they're looking for the Messiah. They can see, I think a lot of them could see a Messiah in there. Of course, they may not have understood, but they look into this, you know, the salvation through faith was the part maybe they weren't seeing that was preached in the old law, right? That's not the salvation through faith. It'd be salvation through, let's adhere to all the tenets of the law, right? Maybe. But they were actually looking beyond that. That's interesting. That's a good point. Any other thoughts about that that struck you on? But he reminds Timothy of that, you know, these sacred writings for that point, right? And he reminds him in verse 16 of back in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses, again, we're all familiar with, I think. We've probably heard, I would doubt to say nobody in this room hadn't heard this, but all Scripture is inspired by God, so God breathed that all Scripture, so that was written before, and that was written, you know, by Paul here, or this, and later on that we have for ourselves, and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. I think Lois and Eunice wholeheartedly understood that. They may not have had that verse. They didn't have that verse, right? I mean, they may have, Paul could have taught it and things like that when he was with them, you know, but they didn't have that verse. But we have that verse, and I think they wholeheartedly believe that the Scriptures they were teaching to Timothy were profitable. They were, you know, worthwhile for all the things that are mentioned there. And this, so it's no different for us today. You know, there's I think, you know, for me as a father, maybe one day, hopefully, if, you know, it depends on what happens, if I'm a granddad or something, that I need to value the Scriptures as much as these two ladies and make sure that it's continuing to be taught to my children, my grandchildren, that they value it as the fact that the greatest instruction book in life and for the hereafter, the only one that's of the most value is this book. In God's words. There's a lot of instruction books out there and self-help books, and those are good. A lot of those are good because, you know, they're written from wisdom that God's given men, but they will never supplant this book. And this is the first and foremost one that's profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, training in righteousness, so that man, woman, you know, will be adequately or thoroughly equipped for every good work. So, you know, I wholeheartedly believe that's, I mean, what's said here, that they learned it from him, they learned it from them, he did from them, and they really believe that and, you know, the value of that. Okay, turn over to 2 Timothy, just a couple chapters back in chapter 1, another verse is, you know, part of what's been mentioned already. Would somebody read verses 3 through 5 of 1st or 2nd Timothy, I'm sorry, 2nd Timothy chapter 1 verses 3 through 5.
I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also.
So, this is, he says that you know Eunice and Lois. Paul saying this to Timothy in this second letter. You know, he's known Timothy for a long time now, and obviously gotten to know his grandmother and mother. And, you know, the time he was able to pass through those, you know, whether it's Derby or Lystra, those areas, you know, and of course traveling with Timothy also certainly heard stories and knows about, you know, his stories he told him. But, you know, here he says that they have a sincere faith, as Larry read. So that word sincere is, I won't try to pronounce it there. But it's actually derived from two other, the root, sort of this root of two other words. One of them's kind of, it means not, you know, and the other is to act as a hypocrite. So that's that sincerity, not to act as a hypocrite, if you put that all together. And so it carries the idea of not just, you know, it's that hypocrisy is, you know, not doing what you say. But here they were doing what they said. And so certainly I think Timothy, growing up, heard what they said, but surely he saw what they did too, right? And Paul is saying these about these two women, the Apostle Paul, and that time he's been around them, and time being with Timothy, that, again, they're not acting as a hypocrite. They are sincere. And what was your version said, Larry?
Genuine.
When we think someone's genuine, we think it's the real thing, right? Anything that's genuine, it's not fake. And so that's the same thing. So by their actions, not only by their words, we see that, you know, Paul saying these women have a sincere faith. And so it reminds me of the reverse of this, and, you know, just a book over in Titus. You know, at the end of that, and the end of chapter 1, before he goes and talks about the duties of the older men and, you know, the older women, the younger, and so forth, he talks about the false, some of these false testimonies and teachers, but he says in verse 16 of chapter 1 of Titus, he says, they profess to know God, but by their deeds they deny him, being detestable and disobedient, worthless for any good deed. So that's the opposite of the sincerity, right? This, they're not to act as a hypocrite in terms of Lois and Eunice, but the ones Paul's talking about here in to Titus, they are just the hypocrite. You know, they profess to know God, and these false teachers and others, but they don't by what they do. Their deeds reveal them. And then he goes on in the rest of that, and Titus continue to talk about, okay, here's how one that actually professes God should act and the things they should do. And so for us, that's the same, right? I mean, and sometimes we can spot them, sometimes we don't, sometimes we can be that person. But the idea is to have a sincere faith. And that's not just meaning, yeah, we understand and really believe what, you know, the faith says, believe what God says. But the sincerity of faith talking about here is, okay, I understand and I have knowledge, but I actually do those things. By the way I live my life, you know, I may profess God, but also profess God through my actions and the things I do. And so, I don't know how long he spent with them, Paul, these two women, but I think a lot of what he's got, he probably enough to see them, but I don't get the sense that he was around them a lot. He was around Timothy a lot more, right, and all the travels. And so, I think he saw in Timothy, he learned that they had a sincere faith in things Timothy said and Timothy did, because what he says here, he says, you know, he's telling them, he said, I am mindful of the sheer faith within you, but it first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. So it's directly tied to certainly his faith is his own, but it's directly tied to his mother and grandmother. And so that's pretty strong there, I think, also in the lives of the parents and grandparents. It doesn't mean we're responsible. If somebody's faith is their own, we're responsible for what they do as a parent per se, but we have a lot of effect on them. We have a lot of ability to make their faith in a way sincere by living sincerely in the faith in our own lives. Any other thoughts about those verses? Okay. One last thing, so we're going to be, it's interesting though, we talked about this a little bit, right? The relationship that Eunice had was married to a man that was not a Jew. We're never told that he was a believer. Only we're told there that he was a Greek. Now, we don't know what happened later on, right? But they obviously, in that household, there would have been some strain, right, in that household, I'd imagine. You know, obviously there's enough that, like I touched on this a little bit earlier, Timothy at that time hadn't been circumcised. I would imagine his mom, being faithful in the Jewish religion, would have wanted him to be circumcised. But he obviously wasn't by the time Paul had gotten there, right, and met him. So would that have caused some strain, you think, in that household? Yeah, so I think it's no different, right? I don't know, probably some of you known and things, people that are, you know, one, you know, spouse is a Christian, maybe one's not. Doesn't mean the other one's a bad person per se, but they're not a Christian. But that could be stressful, right? You know, especially when the kids come along. It may be a little easier when there's no kids, but when the kids come along, then it's a little stressful. And you can imagine that whether it's the husband or the mom, you know, they want them to come to worship service. If they're a Christian, they want them to study their Bible and reinforce those things. You know, they want to teach them things that God would want have them to know. And the other parent may not support that. They may not be against it. You never know. But they may not push back. But somebody may be totally against it. But that could be a strain. And especially when kids come along, right? I think that could be the strain of this. And some of you know people in that situation. But we have people that are probably in that situation. But that definitely, you can see where that's, because it doesn't matter on both sides. Maybe the other parent that's not a Christian doesn't want them to know any of that stuff, right? And that's a strain on them to have them teach anything about the Lord, you know? But that's the relationship I think we see here. Now, we're not told anything about how Eunice and her husband got along or anything like that, but you can imagine that. It happens today that she's a Jew and later a believer. Now, we don't know about him later on, but she's a Jew and he's not. He's a Gentile. And the fact that we already said is brought up that she shouldn't even technically be married to him by God's law, right? So that probably put a lot of family strain on her even outside, if her mother was Jewish, you know, but definitely a strain on that relationship. So that says a lot about her, I think, right? That even through all that, she has a big influence on Timothy. And she taught him the scriptures. And you know that was hard to do, right? It seems like it'd be hard to do, and a lot of that pressure, you know, and it's probably pressure from other Jews that looked upon that, oh, they're not doing right. Family over there, you know, they would have been what we called sinners, right, by the other Jews, you know. So that would have been tough, but she managed to get through that, we see, and what the verses we've all read. And that, so it, I think it just speaks a lot about her and getting through that. And you've probably known women and men that have been in that situation. I've known some that raised, you know, good Christian children that are still faithful and everything. So, but it can't be easy, right? It can't be easy, and those situations are all different. But, you know, and I think that's just something else to observe about her. The next verse we can turn over there, it made me really think about what Paul had said here in 1 Corinthians, when I get there. Chapter 7. And he's given a lot of, you know, is it 1 Corinthians? I hope I got the right. Yeah, he's given a lot in this course, and he's probably answering a lot of their questions and everything too. We know in this, the book of Corinthians. But he says these, you know, out of, we'll just read some of these verses. But in chapter 7, He's talking about marriage and staying married and not, you know, not leaving in different situations. And here he specifically talks about where one spouse is a believer, the other is not. And he goes both sides here, whether it's a wife and the husband's an unbeliever or the husband's a believer and the wife's not. But he says in verses 13 and 14, he says, "And a woman who has an unbelieving husband and he consents to live with her, she must not send her husband away, for the unbelieving husband is sanctified through his wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified through her believing husband. For otherwise your children are unclean, but now they are holy." And then skipping down to verse 16, it says, "For how do you know, O wife, whether you will save your husband? Or how do you know, O husband, whether you will save your wife?" I think that's exactly the relationship she's in right here. Now, we don't know, again, what her husband, we're not told anything about him. Did he become a Christian later on, a believer? First, she was a Jew. Imagine this. This is kind of like, first she's a Jew practicing these things of Judaism. Of course, certainly following God. And the husband doesn't want Timothy to be circumcised, obviously, to be, you know, become, follow the Jewish faith, it doesn't seem like. But then she becomes a believer in Christ, a total switch now in that household. But her influence had a stronger end, maybe Paul and when they were traveling through, but Timothy becomes a believer now. Right? He's not circumcised, he's not fun, but that was just, I'm thinking through that, that's an interesting situation, right? You know, that household where the husband there, that's a Gentile the whole time, and now she's following Judaism? Wait a minute, now she's following Christ, Christianity. Still God, but, you know, totally different in a way, right? So, but I think, you know, she understood this, even she didn't have this verse again, right? They didn't have this at the time. But she understood this somehow, and that it seemed that whether it's Paul's teaching or whatever, just she understood that she had to remain faithful for her son's sake, you know, and what she believed when Paul taught as he came. They passed through in Barnabas, and she heard the word that he said from God, you know, about Christ. She believed, and it meant enough to her that she had to remain strong, and she was strong enough to teach her son, you know, from his youth, the old scriptures, looking for that faith and salvation, but even after that, to understand she had to follow Christ, she taught him. And it had to be a strain on there, but who knows, right? And that's what Paul says. How do you know, O wife, you may save your husband? Stay with him. Or how do you know, husband, you may save your wife? So the idea of Paul saying, just like anything, we have to, in a way, that's a tough and difficult situation, but God expects us to stay together as husband and wife, but because the outcome could be great, especially, you know, if there's one that's unbelieving and one believing. And you would hope to help that Timothy and Lois and Eunice working on Eunice's husband eventually would convert him. We're never told, but you hope that happened, right? I mean, they're just all three of them sort of, you know, the influence they had on them. So any other thoughts about any of those? Go ahead, Casey.
I think it's just one more example of how the gospel and those that have been used by God come from maybe imperfect situations. And you've seen it from Moses and Abraham all the way up through. You know, we got Matthew, a tax collector, and, you know, Paul, a persecutor, who are just, you know, great people on delivering the word. But nobody's this absolutely perfect person. Even King David had his faults, and they're all human, and they all have struggles within their life. And I think that's just a good example to show that there's always somebody that you can think of that's like, well, they had their issues too, and I've got mine, but, you know, they still all had this common purpose.
That's great. Great comment, Casey. Yeah, so we're all different. We all have different situations, but through that all, right, we can remain strong through God's help, right? And just, you know, putting our faith in Him and faith in His Word and, you know, following and trying to live our best we can through all those difficult situations. Any other thoughts anybody has or something they... Oh, sorry.
I think that she was probably not a Christian when she married him, but we can kind of see her character through this. I have to think of Jews being very prejudiced towards Gentiles. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Kind person, or she wouldn't have found herself in that situation, I think.
Yeah. And I think so. I'm it's pretty sure she's not a Christian. I mean, we can just infer again. We don't know. We're not given a timeline. But Timothy's old enough, and through the first missionary journey, she probably became a believer then, because she may have heard, you know, maybe her mom or one of them was in Jerusalem when that happened. We don't know. But, yeah, I think we can infer that because it refers she's a Jew. She came from that background. She probably, you know, was a believer after she was married to him, and Timothy's old enough by that time. So that's a good point. Yeah, so, yeah, she, you know, I mean, she fell in love, right? I mean, that was definitely, you know, Jews weren't expected to do that, but something better has come along too, right? I mean, so she sees that, you know, in that relationship now, it's just like, you know, Peter having to learn that these are not unclean, you know, to God, that he's made now access to all mankind through Christ, that you can have righteousness. And so I think that would have been a, you know, probably after she became a believer, that'd probably be a great blessing there, to realize that that's something, she's married to a Gentile, but now God's, you know, she would have probably thought before, God's not accepting the Gentiles, maybe, or everybody told him that, you know, but now he is. This is a blessing for all mankind. So that was probably a big relief on her too. We don't know. So, but, you know, the last thought I had, and if you got any more, say it, but so I've seen this described as, like, you can think of these women as a ripple effect. They're like Eunice, who heard, was a drop, and how that spread out. Their faith continued to spread out, and how, you know, we can have a lot of influence. And think about it, or you can think about it as she was a seed, right, that fell in the ground, and a tree grew up, and from that many seeds. Because think about it, she probably wasn't thinking, I was thinking about this, she wasn't teaching Timothy when he was young to say, I hope one day he becomes an evangelist and preaches and everything. That wasn't happening, right? She wasn't teaching him the scriptures to become a Levite. Well, we know. I mean, he probably wasn't of that tribe, to a priest. She was teaching him the scriptures because she sincerely had faith in God and it would lead to salvation. And then later, as she became a believer, you know, continued to strengthen him that way also, are those things she learned about being a Christian. But as a result, even though that wasn't, I don't think, her motivation at all, as a result, how many people do you think Timothy affected from her teaching? Even it affected Paul in a way, right? Because he looked at him as a son, and he strengthened Paul, right, in his journeys. So our intent doesn't have to be what they may become one day. Our intent should be on our children and grandchildren to focus on the fact that strengthen their faith, both in what we say and what we do, what we teach, and make them have value in the scripture, but one day they may affect a lot more people than we ever did. You know that, but the goal is first and foremost for her, I'm sure, and his grandmother's, to make sure he understood what he understood what they understood and had faith in God also. Any other, so just this last verse I threw up there, for God has not given us a spirit of fearfulness, but of power and love and discipline. That comes right after what he said about their sincere faith.
So in the height of Paul's attempt to motivate Timothy, he calls upon his spiritual heritage as a motivator to the evangelist Timothy. So yep, that's pretty cool too, that their ripple effect was their heritage, to the point where Paul would call upon it to motivate Timothy.
Yep. So the lesson, I think, is we may appear like we're just one little drop in the pond, but we can have a huge effect. It only takes one little raindrop to make a lot of ripples. You know, and so us in life, like Eunice and Lois, they were little raindrops among all the believers. But they raised Timothy, who we know about now today, and of course them, and he probably had great effect on a lot more people. That ripple just kept growing and growing. Any other thoughts, comments? Well, that's all I had. I can't stretch it any further. Thanks for your comments. Remember, I think I got it right, Aquila and Priscilla. You're teaching that, Phil?
Yep.
Okay. So another good couple there that we have a lot to learn from. So study up on those for Sunday. I don't know. There may be lesson material out there, I think, already to pick it up.